Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 14th of November, recording at 9:10 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, a quick look at the highlights here today. The Asian stock markets were mostly firmer, and that was, I think, very much in response to the gains that we saw on Wall Street on Thursday and Friday. One exception, I think India was a little bit weaker. The China markets did best. The A-share index shrugged off 4 days of downward drift here in today's rally. Now, the European stock markets were weaker. Switzerland, I see, closed with a tiny gain, but mostly we had declines of over 1% in the European stock market indices. And one of the reasons for that was because Italian bond yields, after declining on the opening, firmed up a bit, and Spanish bond yields rallied a bit sharply in here today. Now, in the Americas, all the indices are showing declines, moderate declines. The S&P is down less than 1%. It was off the lows, and smaller percentage declines for the NASDAQ and the Dow. In bonds, long-dated government bond prices were quite firm. The U.S. 30-year Treasury futures up a point and a half. As I speak, the dollar index, excuse me, the dollar index is strong, up half a point, or just over half a point, 77.48. And the euro has slipped back to 136.24. In precious metals, gold's been subject to a little bit of profit taking here today, but it's only down $7.50 as I speak. That puts it at 1781. Platinum, tiny decline, $2. Silver down 40 cents. Crude oil, a little bit weaker here today. 98 and 10 cents for the WTI. Brent down to 111 and change. Grains and beans a little bit easier. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, Europe still is still very much the focal point of global concerns, and I mentioned those interest rates pushing higher in Italy and Spain today. So this has its capacity, or retains its capacity, to unnerve investors, and no doubt that will continue for a while. I noticed that there's an increase in talk, I think, from North America, certainly on the television, financial television channels, and not that I watch them that often, but I do for a brief period in my gym in the mornings, and people are talking about more openly about a breakup of the euro. We get the same thing in the UK. I'm kind of mistrustful of that sentiment, and prefer to take my cue on the euro from what the people who actually belong to the eurozones are saying. And I think there's a fair degree of resolve still to tough this out, rather than fold up the cards here on what is certainly the first really serious crisis that the euro has seen, which of course it started back in when the borrowing became excessive, but it didn't really flare up into a crisis until 2008, and the rest you know. But again, I regard the euro as a political construct, and therefore, if the political will is there, they can deal with too many entitlements, and the tougher challenge is perhaps how to make the region more competitive. But in some respects, a country like Italy, for instance, it needs to do a little bit of an internal devaluation. Pay each other less, have fewer entitlements generally, to make the economy more competitive. Sell some of the state assets and get people to pay their taxes and maybe lower the tax rate slightly overall. But they'll work it out, I think. Now, I like the action that we're seeing in Asia because we are shifting away from this tighter monetary policy. We also have seen that in Brazil, and Brazil has performed very credibly since its surprise initial interest rate cut a few months ago. And Brazil has also succeeded in weakening its currency somewhat, and the strength of the Brazilian real was a major concern. So the change in interest rates have obviously helped there a bit. So that's performing better. And basically, if you take these fuller money themes, these growth economies that we do like on a secular basis, the ones that are doing best are the ones that are clearly indicating that they're moving away from the tighter monetary policy. So you have Indonesia and the ASEAN region generally looking quite steady. China, which I mentioned a moment ago, but China also hasn't cut rates yet, but it has injected some liquidity, and there is an increasing likelihood that we have seen the end of the monetary tightening there. They won't shout that from the rafters just yet, because if they do at all, because they'll be concerned about inflationary pressures. But a little weaker oil price would go a long way towards mitigating that somewhat. India is probably going to be one of the last countries to lower its rates, because it still has the inflation problem. And there's a consensus developing that India might not change its rates throughout 2012. That to me is a wild guess. It's way too far into the future. And if that Indian growth slips a little further, as it well may after 13 quarter point interest rate hikes, the last one being earlier this month. I beg your pardon, I think the last one was, no, it might have been earlier this month. But 13 consecutive rate hikes, and that's quite a headwind for the stock market, particularly if investors think it may take a while longer before they start to ease monetary policy. Now, if that weighs on India, it would create a better buying opportunity, somewhat better buying. It's still, I think it's a reasonable buying opportunity in here right now, but it may lag. Because of that concern. Monetary policy changes, I think, are about as good a lead indicator as you get for stock markets. Now, so in other words, when rates start to go up, you want to turn cautious. That's an increasing headwind. When rates start to come down, that's an increasing tailwind. That tailwind is one of the reasons why Wall Street is showing its very good relative strength. And take most stock markets, the majority of stock markets in the growth economies, we have more often than not negative real interest rates, in other words, below the rate of inflation, but that inflation rate does come down to get the rate cuts. Okay, I'm repeating myself. What about gold? I think overall, it's an extremely good performance. It's a wee bit overextended relative to its 200-day moving average, but not seriously so. a little bit of ranging, support building in here. It's a buy on easing, I suspect. I don't think there's a big downside risk. That would require a major stock market sell-off, I think, and that's not what I see. Here, not with the monetary policy they're talking about. The economic data is not as bad as many people feared. More importantly, corporate earnings, pretty solid among the multinational companies. So, again, I think it's more likely that we're in a cyclical bull phase rather than still in the cyclical bear phase that I believe ended in that September-October period, really ended in that late August, September period. What else to mention here? You know, I think that's pretty much it. So I don't want to go on and on and on what is a quiet day here overall, with a little bit of profit taking in Europe and the USA. All the best.